The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We have two meetings in Ireland this evening. We have Cork and Roscommon. We're going to focus on the meeting at Cork because it contains the listed Platinum Stakes and the Group 3 Give Thanks Stakes. A good card in prospect there. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action, as always, is resident Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you.
Good man. I haven't spoken to you since the Galway Festival. Did you have a good time of it?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It got progressively difficult as the week went on, but I think if you followed Busted Tycoon, you'd have probably you'd have been all right. Yeah, three wins, unprecedented three wins in a week. Yeah. I don't think any horse has ever done that before. Running three times is difficult, no, but winning three all goes the credit all goes down to Tony Martin and connections for A, having a go, and B, pulling it off. No, yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's spectacular to win three times at the festival. And Tony Martin had a great festival altogether, didn't he? He had a great run of things.
He did. I didn't really see it coming with regards sort of numerically, although, you know, he's always feared everywhere, isn't he, Tony Martin? But, I think he had five or six in the end, and Dermot Weld obviously took the leading plaudits yet again, as he always does. But Tony Martin was hot on his heels, so it was a really good week.
Yep. Let's move on to Cork then. A good card in prospect tonight, Andy. A big listed race, a mile listed race with plenty of runners, and then there's the Group 3 at 7:05 as well.
That is incredible, that listed race. I don't think I've ever seen a bigger field assembled for a listed stroke group race in Ireland. I mean, that is a maximum field as well, 18. I think any more, and nothing else would get in. I think they've actually got two reserves in a listed race.
Yeah.
So that takes some finding, yeah.
Yeah. We'll come on to that later on. That's at 6:35. The first race, though, is the 5:05, and we start with an EBF maiden over 6 furlongs, and at the top of the betting as we're recording this in the morning is Candy Apples, who's 5-4, and she's hit the crossbar on a couple of occasions. Andy, is she going to get ahead in front this time?
She's got a chance here. Arguable whether she's got a favourites chance. It totally depends how well you read the form over there in Ireland, which horse you think has been running against the better horses. At least she's run on cutting the. She's gone well with cutting the ground twice. It's going to be on the yielding side tonight at Cork, following one or two showers yesterday. And her run last time out behind Wilshire Boulevard reads quite well, because the winner of that race and the Ain't No Brian Camp has gone on to win a Group 3 subsequently, lowered in the colours of stable companion Oklahoma City at the Curra. The time of the race wasn't overly strong, and apart from the winner, the form hasn't worked out all that well. So there are positives and negatives surrounding Candy Apples' chance here. She's going to be around about a 6-4, 7-4 chance, and I'd probably look for a little bit of value against her here in this race with Treadstone. Horse hasn't run since mid-May. Why he's been off the track since then, I haven't got any idea. Maybe Tommy Stack has been looking for some cut in the ground, which has been very scarce over in Ireland in the last month or two, to get this horse back on track. He was good second behind Stubbs, who's a very useful horse, as we know. I think he was one of the favourites, wasn't he, Stubbs, to win the Coventry Stakes. I think he was favourite, but he can only manage sixth behind War Command, his stable companion. But the form has worked out really well beyond that. The Organ Grinder, who was third, has won since. And also a horse called Abakova. She went on to win a listed race, Filly's race, down in Tipperary. So I actually think Treadstone's got the best form in the book here. And also he's got a better draw. High numbers often dominate here at Cork when they come up the standside rail, particularly when there's a bit of cut in the ground. So I'll take Tommy Stack's charge, despite that two-month absence, to get the better of Candy Apples and Wateed in the first.
OK. The 5:35 is race 2 on the card, and this is a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got a couple of form runners at the top of the betting, Penny Serenade and Harpist, who are 7-2 and 9-2 respectively. It's then 13-2 or bigger prices the rest. Do you see it between those first two, Andy?
You can never really be too dogmatic in these sprint races in Ireland, as I've found to my cost over time. We had a couple of shot winners in sprint races yesterday, and we've got a good mix of horses in this race, and various shapes and sizes and form lines. I agree with you with the two strong in the market here, the front two, Penny Serenade and Harpist, two real banging form fillies. I'd probably prefer Penny Serenade out of the two, because I think she's more of a sprinter than Harpist. Now, Harpist is dropping back from a mile and 7 furlongs respectively, to tackle this 6 furlong trick, probably on the advice of Wayne Lorden, who rode her last time out. And she made all the running, and he's probably said, well, she showed that much speed at Down Royal to win over 7. She maybe is worth a drop back in a furlong here. But whether she can dominate from stall 3 with a bit of cut in the ground, this is the first time she's encountered soft ground, this downhill dancer filly, remains to be seen. Whereas I do think Penny Serenade, who's got a good cruising speed and a good turn of foot at the end of her races, is arguably more going to be more suitable to the conditions thrown up this afternoon. Prior to that win the other day at Nice, Edwin Lynham's individual had won nicely at Limerick on soft ground. And I just think she's in really good nick at the moment. These fillies as well, trained by Edmund Lynham, have got a good record over the years. And she's drawn stall 11. So I'd take her, even though she's the favourite, and it's probably unoriginal. But until she's beat, I'd stick with Penny Serenade.
OK. The third race is the 6.05, and this is an apprentice handicap, and it's over the 6 furlong trip. What do you like for the third race, Andy?
If I could play me joker and not put up anything on the card, this would probably be the race, because this is beyond me totally. Do Not Prince basically summarised how difficult it is to pick winners in these 0-75 handicaps over in Ireland. A horse that went into that race yesterday at Nace with hardly any form attached to it, at a track where he's run poorly several times, and yet up he pops at 16-1. So your guess is as good as mine, who's going to come out on top today. A lot depend on pace and draw, as it always does. If you gave me a bear and a free fiver, I'd probably stick with Patrick Swell, just because he's a very, very likeable individual that usually runs his race. He's fairly adaptable from 5 furlongs up to 6-7 furlongs even. In fact, I think this horse actually ran over a mile at some stage throughout the course of the season. He was second last time at Beyond Liddy's Star at Nace, who just picked its pocket late on. But he's a fun runner, and he often likes to dominate, so he's got a good draw, stall 10, so perhaps get on towards the stand rail. He certainly won't have any peace up front, though, because he's got You Can Choose breathing down his neck. He probably could do without that horse in the race, because they're likely to go quite quick up front here. But I'll stick with Patrick's well, but certainly with no degree of confidence.
OK, the 6.35 is the Platinum Stakes. It's the listed race over a mile. We have 18 of them in the lineup for this. We've already mentioned how it's such a big field. Who'd you like for the Platinum Stakes, Andy?
I think we can talk about quite a few in this race, Mark, can't we? Because it's definitely not going to be a one or two horse show here. Indian Chief, he comes here following 2 good runs in group company over a little bit further, mile and a quarter, of course. And then Brian's looking to get his season back on track. This looks a fair enough opportunity for him. But whether he's good enough to lower the colours of one or two of the older, more hard-knocking older horses, he's open to debate. And that falls similar to Fort Knox as well. That falls into the category with him. He was disappointing last time out when quite strongly fancied in the Irish 2,000 guineas behind Magician, Galforce 10, etc. and Trading Ladder. But the ground would have been probably too fast for Johnny Murta's individual on that occasion. And you've got to go back to that run early on in the season at Leopardstown when he was wildly impressive, quickening up from last to first to take that listed prize early on in the season. So I think the rain that's fallen in the last 24 hours has certainly suits Fort Knox's chance here. He's just got a bogey draw to overcome, stall 14. That certainly won't be easy to achieve. I quite like Secret Recipe here from a stable that obviously had a very good Galway, as they always do. 10 winners last week for the Master of Rosewell. And in Secret Recipe, he seems to have an improving three-year-old here who certainly would appreciate the cut in the ground. I'm not sure why he didn't run at Galway last week. I think he was entered for a couple of races, a few of those handicaps. But he's decided to come here, and that could well bear fruit. He's got a good draw, and also he's got a very good turn of foot as well off the back of a strong pace, as he's proven on his last 2 starts in winning at Listowel and at Killarney when he quickened up to beat 2 nice horses down in Killarney. Should be plenty of pace on here as well, and they're all drawn low. Custom Cut drawn 1, Bronte drawn 3, Euphrasia drawn 4. They've all made the running to win in the last 2 or 3 starts. So Secret Recipe, I would imagine, would have just tucked in behind them following a good break, tracked them into the straight, and hopefully turn on the turbo in the home straight. So Secret Recipe, around about 8-9-1 each way in that 6.35.
OK, that's the 6.35. On to the 7.05 next, and this is the Irish Stallion Farms European Breeders Fund Give Thanks Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest for fillies, and it's over a mile and a half. We have Venus De Milo at the top of the betting at 1-4 this morning, but it's no real surprise to see her that short, because she was second in the Oaks behind Chiquita last time, and unlucky in running on that occasion as well. This is a significant drop in class, and do you think she'll come out on top here, Andy?
I think she will, Mark, yeah. Very difficult to get away from her. I think she's going to be the banker for many in lots of permutations sensations, short price doubles and trebles up and down England and Ireland today. I think Velas de Milo, we want to be one of the bankers of the day. Bookmakers obviously look to get a beat, but it is difficult to see beyond her, to be honest. She comes out really well on my speed figures, courtesy of a good listed win over a mile and a quarter at Nace. And then she proves that she stays a mile and a half really well, as you said, with an unlucky run behind Chiquita in the Irish Oaks. I know there was a bit of a bunch finish on that occasion, but I think if the race would have panned out a little bit better for her, she may have obliged. She's got form early on in the season when winning a maiden on soft ground at Fairy House, so the ground change shouldn't inconvenience her chances here either. Doesn't appear to me too many obvious dangers. Maybe if you're looking for something without the favourite or from a forecast point of view, Midnight Soprano might be good enough to fill the runner-up spot. A winner here at Cork, two starts back on her opening salvo for the season. When she beat a reasonable field in a Group 3 contest. Ground would have been a bit too quick for her last time out when she came over to the UK at Haydock, but back on home territory with cutting the ground, I think Paul Deegan's six-year-old could certainly be good enough to chase home the favourite, but that's pretty much how I see it there.
OK, on to the 7.35 then. This is Division 1 of this mile and a half handicap, and we have Crouching Harry at the top of the betting, who's been spotted a little bit from 4s into 7-2. It's 9-2 for Crystal Earth. Bob Skier is another that's attracted the money this morning, 7-1 into 5-1 for that one. Hootie is 6s and Zero Euro is 10s into 9. So there's been a few that have attracted the money, Andy. Any of those on your shortlist?
One or two. I certainly think you can give four or five a squeak, as the market suggests in this race. Crouching Harry, well, he's been a long-standing maiden for quite a while now. 16 runs, no wins, but he is getting closer with every single attempt. He was a runner-up the other day down in Ballinrobe in an apprentice handicap. And interesting that Ewan Doyle has gone for Joseph O'Brien tonight. He's teamed up with that horse in the past, so he's a player of sorts. Money for Bob Skier, can certainly see why punters are looking to get with that filly. She often makes the running, or certainly can make the running, so positive tactics might be the key to her tonight. Bits and pieces floating around for Crystal Earth, a horse I tipped on the podcast last time out down in the Curragh, only for it to finish second in that ladies amateur rider race won by Beau Michael. Make Peter Fahey's individual definitely win races sooner rather than later. But I'll go with Sheila's Wish here from the John McConnell stable, a yard in reasonably good nick. Colin Keane takes the ride here on this 5-year-old mare. And she ran quite well last time out, a much better race than this down in Fairy House, won by Ben Becula. And I thought she was going to win turning for home, or certainly was going equally as well as the leaders, only for just to not quite get home in that 0-75 handicap. This definitely represents a drop down in grade, this 0-65. And she's got plenty of soft ground form. She also finished second here last year as well, behind a horse called All About Alfie. And I think a reproduction of any of those last two runs, plus that run last year at the track, we'll certainly see her in the mix here. She's 11-1 with William Hill this morning. I do think that's a fair enough price. So let's go with Sheila's Wish each way.
Okay, Sheila's Wish each way in that one. And we move on to the penultimate race, which is Division 2 of this mile and a half handicap. And I thought this was quite tricky, Andy, this one.
Yeah, as of the pronunciation of number 3 on the race card, Gomoloshkale. A horse who definitely is a win around the corner, you'd imagine, from the John O'Gorman stable. I certainly like his last two runs, but they've come on a much quicker surface. That run last time out at Fairy House was on good to firm, so maybe the rain that's fallen might just hinder Gobaleshkale in this race. Also, Azar Mirajan wouldn't want the ground to deteriorate any more. Very much a fast ground performer from Charles Burns, of course, a winner yesterday in the shape of Domination from that stable. And he hasn't won on the flat for quite a while, this 10-year-old, but he's very dangerously well handicapped, that Mirajan. And if the money comes for this individual, then we need to take heed. I will go for a Celtic Dane here to cause a bit of a shock, however. He's got a good record going right-handed. He won't mind the cut in the ground. And although his last win hasn't come for 2 years, he's certainly been threatening on the evidence of his last two or three starts. Been tenderly ridden by apprentice jockeys, I've noticed, at Leopardstown and on a couple of occasions so far. But the speed figures that he's posted have been quite good, even though he's finished in mid-div. Fifth last time out behind Edith Cowan when he was last turning in. Reads quite well on the speed figure. So Celtic Dane, even though he's a 9-year-old, he's knocking on a little bit. I wouldn't let it put you off because we saw Tin Town Boy win, and he's a 12-year-old the other day at Galway. So it could well be another one for the old-timers here in the 805.
Okay, I'm just glad you said the name of number three and not me, because I didn't have a clue, to be honest.
I could tell.
Yeah. Was it that obvious?
That was like a hot potato, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll pass it to you. The 8:35 is the final race on the card, and we finish with a 7-furlong maiden, and the betting is headed by Lake District this morning, who's been gelded and wears the first-time visor and has been consistent in maidens without being able to get his head in front. Do you think the gelding operation and the new headgear will see him break his maiden tag finally?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that all those different contraptions have been tried with Lake District. Dermot Wells obviously desperate to get a win out of him, plus the fact that he's got rid of his wedding tackle as well. So they really are keen to get him off the mark, aren't they? I presume he'll be positively ridden like he was here last time out over a mile. He got beat by Overland Express in the middle of June. But to be fair, Tommy Stack's charge, he's not a bad filly. And, you know, that Dylan Thomas filly went on to win quite well the other day, went up to trip down in Down Royal. So I actually don't think that form is too shabby, you know. There was a good distance back to the third, Mindy, who'd also run well the time before at the Curra. So I'd probably favour Lake District here over Inkerman. Because similarly to the Dermot Wells charge, David Watchman's three odd has also had difficulty getting off the mark. Just the one pace last time out behind Fiesta and Lake Rosebud, when having every chance at Leopardstown, he's just an ordinary run. It's nothing more, nothing less. So I do think Lake District, with the visors on, with an aggressive ride, like here last time out, on ground that he's gone well before, might well be the key to getting this horse off the mark.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Do you want to just give us a quick summary before you go?
Yeah, I'm really keen on Treadstone in the first race. He's two runs come out my speed, well on my speed figures, and I definitely think he's the form horse in the race. And 3-1-ish, that looks fair enough in the first race. On to the 5:35, lots of informed horses in this, but none more so than Penny 7-8, who's got a good draw in stall 11 right at the standside rail, and hopefully that combination will lead her to continue her winning run in the 6:05. Difficult race here, but again, the draw could be significant. I'll go with Patrick's Well, who can often make the run in, and if he does, could be difficult to pass from up the standside rail. 6:35, the best race on the card by a distance. Hopefully Secret Recipe will oblige, or certainly run well enough there for Dermot Weld. In the 7:05, the penalty kick of the night looks to be Venus de Milo, with maybe Midnight Soprano, one for you that like to play in the without market. Sheila's Wish looks a fair each way bet, 11-1 in the 7:35. Then in the 8:05, I've gone for the old-timer Celtic Dane to roll back the years. And then the final race could well be a good night for Dermot Weld, with Lake District bidding to get off the mark for the first time with the visors on.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Andy, and enjoy at Cork this evening.
Will do. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.